Hello and welcome back to the Life in the Wrist podcast. We've got a few things we want to talk about, but I'm sure what's on your mind right now is Watches and Wonders, which is kicking off. As I mentioned in the previous episode of the Life in the Wrist podcast, we will be covering Watches and Wonders in a full episode next week, I think. So stay tuned for that. We'll cover all the watches that were released and give you our thoughts on each of the pieces. Or each of the brands and what they have sort of brought to the table for this year. There are a few things that we wanted to discuss in this week's episode. The last topic that we'll discuss is really actually something that I really want to focus this episode on, but we will cover just a few things before we get to that. So the first thing I wanted to discuss was the fact that it was announced that the 10th edition of the Only Watch auction will take place on Friday, May 10th, 2024 in Geneva. This is a pretty big announcement regarding the Only Watch charity auction, which was originally planned to take place on November 5th. But there were some fairly prominent brands that backed out of participation, questioning the charity's finances. These were brought up by watch enthusiasts, and I think it prompted them to postpone the Only Watch auction before a financial audit was completed, and the structure and governance of their organization was revised. What's really interesting is it's going to be taking place in May, so this month is April, so next month it will be taking place basically in about a month's time. And will be at the Palexpo Center in Geneva, and will be hosted by Christie's. What's really quite impactful is that 16 brands will no longer be participating in the charity auction. This is actually pretty significant. I had the opportunity to go and see these pieces in New York when they were on display at Christie's last year, and I got the opportunity to see all the pieces in person. What is quite interesting was one of the pieces, and I think this is probably the most significant piece that isn't going to be sold at auction, will be the Audemars Piguet skeleton tourbillon in white ceramic. So a fairly big brand to have backed out. Other brands that, there were 63 pieces that were going to be auctioned, 47 of which are still going to be auctioned. But there were some significant brands like Tudor Chopard, Ferdinand Berthoud, Debutun, and Biver are no longer going to be in participation, along with some others. They did release the financial audit, which some people have taken a look at and commented on. I think as a whole. It's good that people are questioning the integrity of these charity auctions. I think that's a good thing to be doing, and to be asking for more transparency, I think, is really important, especially to ensure that, the funds that are raised during these auctions are going to the causes that they're supposed to be supporting. And the questions that people asked were genuine and fair, and I think you have to answer them I think institutions or organizations have to be able to answer them if they are indeed aligned with the goals of the organizations that they're operating in. So I think there's probably more questions that have come from that financial audit, and I think it's good that people continue to ask them. What I hope, though, is that even though this was postponed from November 2023 to May 10th or to May of this year, I hope that each lot, raises as much money as possible, and that the money that is raised will go to a good cause. And with additional scrutiny, I think that is possible. The last episode of Life in the Wrist podcast, we discussed that little teaser that the Swatch Group or Swatch released about the possibility of having a black Snoopy Moon Swatch, and it was announced that Mission to Moon Snoopy Moon Swatch will be released in in black, and it actually was released April 8th, so the day before this episode was released, and is a pretty nice example, and I think there's still going to be a lot of interest around this. I did want to just follow up, being that it was sort of a teaser, and obviously the white Snoopy has been pretty well sought after, and I think there's a lot of collectors who are interested in it. Again, this watch really works nicely with the with luminescent material, where you'll see that additional features like the moon phase on this watch, with the Snoopy sort of lying on the moons, will be illuminated with a pretty cool pattern and a nice little message. I'll leave a link in the show notes to it for you to see. Again, this moon's watch mission to the moon phase Snoopy edition will be available exclusively at Swatch boutiques starting April 8th, and will cost around $310. I'll quickly give just a quick note to Watches and Wonders. It was quite interesting over the weekend and late last week. There were some individuals who had leaked releases from specific brands. I think Patek Philippe being one of them, and Rolex being another. And there were a lot of comments on Instagram about those who were leaking new watch releases and kind of passing, people were passing opinions on the people who are doing that. Now, I think there's a lot to kind of unpack with this topic. Leaking of new watches, on one hand, is a really tough thing to do, because brands spend a lot of time throughout the entire year to obviously come up with the designs, ensure that they're going to be successful watches, build these pieces, and build interest in what they're going to be releasing for the year. And it takes a lot of time and effort for a brand to do that. And additionally, I think, brands want to be able to control the messaging of the watches that they're releasing that year. There's probably been thought into how each piece is going to be spoken about, how each piece is going to kind of be brought to the market. And for an individual to leak that information, it can be kind of unfortunate, because then the story that a brand wants to tell is kind of eclipsed by the leaks. But on the other hand, there are a lot of brands that will use this as a technique to garner attention and to get enthusiasts, collectors, potential buyers interested in what they're going to be releasing for the year. And so it's really a double-edged sword, with two ways you can go about everything. I won't put links in the show notes to this podcast to the leaks. I'd rather you you can find them yourself if you're on Instagram and follow any of the, general watch sort of Instagram pages. There was a lot of sort of, content around those leaks. So I'm sure you'll probably end up stumbling on them. But from my perspective, I think it's, the source of the leaks is really where you want to go to sort of find your answer on which way you would lean, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And, do advertising companies or people who are working with companies to showcase their new watches, do they have a responsibility to not disclose this until, certain days? Probably. But brands are trusting people with information, with the releases that they're going to be coming out with. And, it's really a tough sort of ground to be standing in. So I wanted to just give my two cents there. Obviously, over the next several days, you're going to see all the watches that are going to be released, which is a very exciting time, I think, for the watch world, to see what the next year, 2024, has to bring. And I also think it's just a wonderful time for us all to really enjoy the hobby that we all love. So a nice little piece there. All right, so the last topic I wanted to go on about was actually just a really a really great interaction that I had recently. So, as you know, in Life on the Wrist, we sell vintage watches on our website. And one of the things that I really focus on is documenting the stories about pieces, whether that's the history of brands, history of movements, history of specific references. And through that, I think I'm bringing some sort of education to the watch industry. So about a couple of weeks ago, we covered a really nice Eternomatic with a black dial that had a little bit of spider webbing on it. It was a stainless steel Eternomatic with a black dial, applied hour markers, sword hands, a really nice example. And I think documents are a really important part of watchmaking, because Eterna with the Eternomatic really paved the way for a different way of looking at the automatic movement with the introduction of their ball bearing mounted rotor, which essentially the idea of, with this movement was that it uses 5 miniature ball bearings that support the automatic rotor, and it reduces the bearing friction and helps the watch operate more smoothly and increase its reliability. And when you actually look at the movement of an Eternomatic, you can actually see you'll see those 5 ball bearings that they use inside of the on the rotor. And if you look at the Eterna logo, it actually is a cluster of 5 dots, which resembles the ball bearings that they sort of innovated on with this automatic movement. And the Eternomatic technology was really led to a lot of success for the brand, and became an extremely important part of watchmaking going forward. So this watch was a really cool piece, and we had the opportunity to sell it to a collector, and the collector was really happy with it, and you know, that was kind of it. But over the last several days, I actually received a letter in the post, and it was from the buyer of this watch, and they had sent me some stories that they had written about their life. This individual was, it's a gentleman, I don't mind sort of disclosing that, but this gentleman was, he had a lot of experience. He had lived through a lot throughout his life, and basically took the time to document some of the memories that he had throughout his life. And the stories are really actually quite touching. They were about friendships that he had throughout his life, his career, and places that he had visited. One of them was about some time that he spent in Germany. And what was quite interesting is when I read through them, I think there were 3 or 4 of these stories. Towards the end of each of the stories, there was in some way kind of a message or a lesson that, you know, through the process of this individual documenting these stories, he kind of concluded the story with, which, you know, something that he learned on that experience, or something that he remembered about the individuals that he was speaking about in the stories. And to be honest, you know, it was not something that I was expecting after selling a piece. But this individual just decided to go ahead and do this. You know, reflecting on that, and perhaps why I find Life on the Wrist really special, and I find watch collecting really special. It kind of, you know, I'm kind of going to elaborate on the fact that these were stories about this guy and his friends. I think it really boils down to the fact that watches can connect people in ways that go well beyond what you're wearing on your wrist, or a pocket watch that you have in your pocket, or a watchmaker that you find interesting, or a new watch release. It's cliche, and I know many people have said this, but these things really bring you closer to people. And not to get too dramatic, but, you know, at its core, I think humans are meant to interact with one another. They're meant to experience things together and share those experiences with others. And when you can do that through a hobby or an interest, you really connect with people, I think, on a different level, because you think in the same way, you have similar ways of experiencing the world for some people, right? But there are ways that you can also differentiate from other people as well. So as an example, I like vintage watches, but a lot of my friends like modern watches, and that might speak to the differences in how we, you know, the interests that we have in our lives. So you're not just going to meet people that are exactly the same to you. There will be some differences, but what's nice is people will come together because there is this interest in time-telling devices that you both share, or you all share. And through that can come friendship. It can come, you know, friendship can come from that, but it also could be just an admiration for one another. And to me, you know, I think this experience of this collector buying this Eternomatic, it actually gave me, it reminded me how important, you know, connecting with people around you, especially if you are selling things like vintage watches or watches in general, connecting with those people is such an important part of the hobby, and an important part of living in this world. I think it also reminded me, you know, reading through the stories, how important friendships are. As I mentioned, the stories that were told or that I received were about friendships. They were about experiences that he had with people and lessons that he learned, or things that he took away from certain interactions with specific people. And so it kind of comes full circle, right? We have this hobby of watch collecting where we get to interact with people and share this passion. But it's also really important to remember that through those interactions with one another, you have to be able to take some sort of lesson or some sort of experience that it's going to have an impact on you. Maybe not today, maybe not in the next year. You know, you won't maybe get to whatever conclusion you're supposed to with that interaction. But if you have the opportunity to sit down and reflect on an experience that you had maybe 2 or 3 years ago, there is some sort of grain of wisdom or just something that you can take away from that experience. So a great example is, you know, if I reflect on maybe looking further back, you know, what was my first vintage watch that I ever purchased? What was that experience like? Who did I interact with when I first purchased that piece? How did I feel when I got it? Who did I tell? Who did I share that moment with? That's the type of thing that, you know, taking a moment to sort of think about can often be a really great way of reflecting. And, you know, with Life on the Wrist, I think this experience has kind of reminded me that I do have an obligation to the people who I'm interacting with, no matter if it's a comment on Instagram, a comment on a YouTube video, someone who stops me in the street and is interested in what watch I'm wearing, or someone I meet at a watch gathering, or a watch that's auctioned off and the people I'm sitting around with at that auction. I do have an obligation to add to someone's story in some way, because while, you know, the person who sent me these letters wrote them down, maybe that isn't something that someone's going to do, but there will be a time where for some reason, someone will think about an interaction that I or they had with Life on the Wrist, and I want it to be focused on what the goals are for Life on the Wrist, which really for me is enjoying this passion and education around watches. So I apologize for getting a little bit serious towards the end of this podcast, but I wanted to share this because you never know what experiences in the watch world will bring. And I think it's it was a really nice one, and I'll always remember it. Even though, you know, this Eternomatic is, it's really, really cool, but it's not like, you know, I'm not selling 24.99s over here, you know, but it was a special moment. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Life on the Wrist podcast. If you have any thoughts on the things we spoke about, be sure to hit us up on our website or on our social media accounts. You can message us over there to talk about these topics. If you are new to the Life on the Wrist podcast, be sure to follow us so you're notified when we upload our podcast and you're the first one to listen to each episode. If you are feeling generous and wouldn't mind rating this podcast, it really does help me out. With that said, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm looking forward to the next episode where we talk about all things watches and wonders. And with that said, I will catch you in the next one.